Welcome to Reality Check, a weekly podcast about anything and everything having to do with education. I'm Jeannie Allen. I'm the CEO and founder of the Center for Education Reform, where we've been working for almost 25 years to expand education opportunity and innovation. Reality Check is a production of National Review. I hope you all will subscribe at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn so that every week you'll be sure to get the latest Reality Check podcast delivered right to your computer. Hello and welcome again to Reality Check. I'm Jeannie Allen. I am so pleased today to have as my guest, my good friend and an amazing thought leader in higher education, Carol D'Amico. Carol is the Executive Vice President of Mission Advancement and Philanthropy with the Strata Education Network. She's a nationally recognized expert in designing and leading strategies related to higher ed, the workforce development, and business-led involvement in education reform. Strata used to be known as USA Funds, and you may have heard of that. Carol previously worked in the U.S. Department of Education as an assistant secretary for adult and vocational education. She has an extensive, influential background. I first met her when she was working at the Hudson Institute many moons ago, and we won't tell people how many years ago that was. She has also been executive vice president and chancellor of Ivy Tech Community College in Indiana. She serves on boards. She works with people at the National Assessment Governing Board. She's consulted across the board on how we might do something that I know is at the motto and the heart of what you all do, Carol, and that is help completion with a purpose. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeannie.
So we've had a lot of opportunity to work together in many capacities, and I want to really tease out for our listeners this idea of completion with a purpose. You know, I think a lot of folks think that really pretty much for most people, higher education is not a problem. But it turns out you've learned a lot in your development of the data and your analysis that would suggest that may not be the case. Talk to us a little bit about what the issues are out there that we should most know about in completing higher learning with a purpose.
Well, thank you. We do know a lot at Strata Education. We know a lot through our work with the Gallup organization. Every night we talk with 350 adults in the U.S. about their experiences and their perceptions of education, mostly education beyond high school. So we learn a lot through talking to Americans. We also learn a lot through our own research. Next week, we're going to be unveiling a report about the underemployment of college graduates. So the problems we try to solve is how do we make sure that people who engage in post-high school education have a career objective in mind and are able to fulfill that objective as a result of the time and money they spend in post-high school education. Not enough people graduate, we know that, but worse, even those who do finish college find themselves underemployed or unemployed, and that's really disheartening, and these are people who've done all the right things, and they're still unable to launch a career as a result of their time and effort.
It really is disheartening. One of the headlines that came out from your Gallup data was that only 26% of working U.S. adults with college experience strongly agree their education is relevant to their work and day-to-day life. Wow, that's quite a disconnect.
That is a disconnect. And we also learned through that report that relevance, how relevant your experience was the biggest predictor of whether you thought it was worth the time, worth the cost, whether you would do it all over again. It is the biggest predictor of what quality education is the relevance. And what's, you know, again, disheartening is that making the education relevant is not necessarily a difficult thing to do. It's not even necessarily a costly thing to do. So we're trying to educate those who are providers of post-secondary education, how they can better make that experience relevant to their consumers, to their students.
So let me ask you maybe a mildly flippant but serious question, really. Remember during the, I think it was the Republican presidential debates, there was that little tete-a-tete, if you will, with Marco Rubio, and I'm not quite sure who else, where he said something about plumbers and somebody else said philosophers. And I remember feeling just a little bit ticked because I was like, hey, Senator Rubio, some of us like political philosophy or philosophy, and it doesn't mean we're not capable of doing something. So how do you distinguish the work and the notion of relevance from there really is some evidence to suggest that the liberal arts, for example, in and of itself provides people with a tremendous background to do any kind of work. How do you reconcile those two views?
Well, we know that liberal arts graduates, many of them did think they had a relevant experience. Many thought they did not. The difference is, how can you apply what you're learning? And it doesn't take much for a faculty member, for instance, to say, you know what? You've got a natural ability to write, and writing is so important in today's workforce. You could really think about a career that really involves a lot of writing. We learned from our research that even if a faculty member says just that it makes a big difference in how somebody views their experience. They view it as, wow, I'm being prepared for my future. We know that if you get a job or an internship while you're in school, no matter what the field is, liberal arts, healthcare, IT, doesn't matter. And if you're applying what you're learning in some way, that makes a big difference in how you view the experience.
Got it.
So there's lots of ways that you could make the curriculum relevant in liberal arts or in vocational technical. The problem is we don't do it enough.
Right. So that speaks to why there are fewer and fewer people completing their higher education when they start, which ends up being obviously an enormous cost, not just to themselves, but to society. What are the numbers? Aren't they something like 60 million adults have not completed a certificate or higher ed, or is that an exaggeration?
No, it's not an exaggeration. In fact, it's 80 million adults in the U.S. today do not have a post-secondary credential.
Oh, my gosh.
And we're learning a lot about those 80 million and who's more inclined to go and get a post-high school credential. And it may surprise you, I think it's surprising to some, that the people who have had some college but did not finish are the least likely to think they're going to go back. And it's because they did not have a relevant experience while they were there. The more relevant the experience was to a day-to-day life or a career objective, the more satisfying the experience. And the people who dropped out, it looks like they did drop out because they didn't see the relevance to their lives.
You know, we've never really talked about this, Carol, you and I, when we've been speaking many times about sort of higher ed or higher learning reforms, if you will. But it just dawned on me, particularly because the listeners that who come to Reality Check, which is hosted at nationalreview.com, are concerned and have been concerned about the liberalization of college and higher education and the political correctness that seems to take over where many of us were sort of 24/7 focused mostly on academic, and yes, we had some fun. Today it seems like the reverse. Could this have anything to do with the attitudes as well, that sort of this pendulum swing to it's all about how you feel and what groups are well represented and kind of all these other political things happening on campuses?
It might. We don't know that from the data. What we do know is that almost everyone who goes to some kind of post-high school experience, college, technical college, go for one reason, and that is to get a better career outcome, a good career outcome. Yet only a third of students who go feel like they've gotten that outcome, that they achieved that goal. And there's probably a lot of reasons why those goals are not met. But we do know that unless colleges are really addressing students where they are, and where they are is they're going to get a good career outcome, then it's not going to be a very satisfying experience for those customers, students. And we've seen a huge decline in enrollments in this country,
right,
in higher education. And I believe, looking at the data, that this issue of relevance to their lives is a very big issue.
So the cost is exorbitant these days. And so we've had also this pendulum swing with, well, there's not enough money for people to go to college, and then there'll be one set of people that try to lobby for more federal funding or more state funding. And there's a whole other group that says, well, why are we funding schools more when they're not completing? Is there any data about cost, and is Strata doing anything in that realm?
Well, we ask people why they drop out, and cost is a factor. It is most of the time not the factor. I believe, looking at the data, that the model itself is a big barrier to completion, that the rigidity of the model does not suit people's lives these days, and that people need more flexible options, courses that are in shorter bites, that for them to take on the huge time burden and cost burden is a very big commitment, especially for the adults,
right,
who have families and responsibilities.
Right, and can't just go sit in an institution all day.
You cannot. Right, and so the rigid model, the inflexible model, is probably the number one reason why people just don't finish. Life gets in the way,
right,
and there's no easy on and off ramps. Once you get off, it's really difficult to get back on.
That's a great way to put it. So who's doing it right? Is anybody doing it well out there or attempting to do it well? When we think about college presidents or universities or community colleges or career institutes, what are some of your favorites?
Well, there are pockets. I think the places where there's an acknowledgement that this is an important population of people and are trying to build more online options, for instance, Purdue University's acquisition of Kaplan and creating Purdue Global. So you'll have the Purdue-backed quality but more flexible options for online education. I think that's also a very important part of it. And I know Arizona State University has its version, and we've got WGU, which is an online university in many states. That's an attempt to, WGU is an attempt to even accelerate the time to degree by recognizing that students come to them already knowing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so why can't we acknowledge that you learned it somewhere else and you know it, and we're going to give you credit for that, and we're going to teach you what you don't know. We're not going to reteach you things you already learned. Just because we didn't teach it to you doesn't mean you don't know it. And so I think there are some pockets and attempts to accelerate the education for this population, but there's just not enough.
I really love that, because there are so many people. I mean, we all know them. Anyone listening out there, we all know someone who has some experience that's valuable under their belt. They probably have some college courses. They might have community college courses. They may have done something online, and yet when they show up, none of that's counted. None of that's recognized by so few people. And so it is interesting that there have been these, whether it's WGU or a straighter line on the more non-traditional case, there are organizations trying to solve that. I just don't know farther and fast enough. What's it going to take to move this quickly? Is it a matter of policy? Is it a matter of behavior? Is it a matter of informing people? As I said at the top of the show, Carol, I'm still stunned how many people have this conversation about, oh yeah, it's great, my kids are going to 4-year, I went to 4-year, most people do that. And then when you start telling them the numbers, they're shocked.
Well, it's going to take all of the above, what you mentioned. It's going to take some policy changes. It's going to take some mindset changes. But I think it's going to take employers speaking out. Employers, I think, are finally signaling we're fed up. We're fed up with people coming to us with degrees and still lacking the competencies to be successful. And so they're starting to signal, you know, we don't care about the degrees. We care about what you know. And more employers are taking matters in their own hands. They're creating their own universities. They're creating their own training programs. Where there's even a group of employers that have been talking about not even asking on an application whether you have a degree. They want to know what you know. They don't care where you learned it. They don't care about the ranking of the university. They care about your competencies. And if these things start taking off, it's going to send very different signals to universities and colleges and to the consumer. It's going to change behavior.
Right. You're listening to Carol D'Amico, Strata Education Network, Executive Vice President. Carol, you all recently launched a new institute for the future of work. You're on their advisory committee. It's how does focusing on work really get to the heart of this problem? What's the role of the Institute for the Future of Work?
Well, it's quite exciting, and we're going to come out with a series of papers. The first one is next week about the underemployment problem of college graduates. I mean, how many times have I heard, maybe you have, universities say, we're not preparing people for their first job, we're preparing them for their fifth job or for their future. Well, it turns out that first job sets you on a course and on a pathway, and it commits you to a pathway that is difficult to undo and to redirect yourself. And so this issue of underemployment, if you start underemployed as a college graduate, it's very difficult for you to catch up. And underemployment is you're in a job that does not require a college degree, yet you have one. So that is an early paper of the Institute for the Future of Work. We're going to have a series of these papers.
That's great.
We're going to be talking about automation and its impact on the workforce and the need to reskill hundreds and thousands of Americans who will be displaced through automation over the next 5 to 10 years.
Oh my gosh, and we already have this deficiency, right? There's something like 6 million jobs that don't have workers and 6 million workers that don't have jobs.
Right.
So there's going to be more?
Add more to
that. Oh my
gosh. Oh, there's going to be many more, and people who are going to want to be retrained. And we do not have the infrastructure, the training and education infrastructure in the U.S. to handle this. We don't have a system where somebody's job is being eliminated due to automation, where they could go in, get credit for what they know, get some quick training, go back into the workforce, work a while, get retrained again, because it's going to have to be constant and continuous. We do not have a system in the U.S. to accommodate this. We are reliant on an older model.
So higher education, as well as any career groups out there, are going to really have to reinvent themselves to be able to handle this, because they, first of all, most of them are empty or under capacity. And they're trying to do the old version, and you're telling us that there has to be a new version that's going to provide these skills and this training to a whole new crop of people, millions.
They're not going to go back to a structured degree program. We know that. We know that from the surveys that we do. They need something different, something that's flexible, relevant, recognizes their experience, and that is not that's not our education and training system in the U.S., by and large. I mean, there are pockets. I know probably some of your listeners are like, well, we do it this way in, you know, Lansing, Michigan, and, you know, yes, there are pockets, but it's not our system.
So we've talked about community colleges before. Community colleges used to play this role, that adults or students who were seeking work knew that if they went to community colleges, they would have access to a variety of training programs, certificates, if you will, access to a career path. And now it's some ridiculous percentage that really are still focused on remedially educating kids who are coming out of high schools that were not prepared. What do we do about that?
We ask a lot of our community colleges. They are the remedial system in many cases. They attempt to be the first 2 years of college, saving time and money for students before they transfer to a bachelor's. They attempt to be the workforce development arm. And in many cases, they have fallen on the weight of the mission that we have given them. It's a lot to expect. And in some cases, they just can't do any of it well because it's a lot on their plate. And so some states have created more of a, you know, technical institutes to try to segment these various missions so that they could focus on adult retraining. They can focus on, you know, a specific mission. There are pockets again, but it's, we ask a lot of our community colleges. They have a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And, you know, you mentioned the word vocational, and I just want to ask you, last question here, Carol, as we're getting towards the end of our time together. The word vocational has been out a lot. I mean, you occupied a high-level federal post that oversaw vocational technical education. President Trump has talked about bringing back vocational education. People on the Hill talk about it. Yes, that's the problem. We have to have vocational education. And I got to tell you, I go, no, that's not the answer if it's the old vocational education. Because the old vocational education tracked my friend Tommy into woodshop because they thought he was stupid. It turns out he was brilliant. He just had ants in his pants, right? Vocational education tracks people or has tracked people oftentimes by race. So if you're being pulled out of 9th or 10th grade based on scores because you weren't taught well versus I'm choosing a path, that's not where I want to see us go. Is there a different model we should be looking at for that kind of training? And maybe just that word gets me. I don't know about you. What do you think?
Well, I don't know if it's the word. I do think that we've got to help students find their purpose much earlier than we do in the U.S. And some people get concerned about that and think it's, quote, tracking. But only in the U.S. do we think it's okay to get into your 30s still finding yourself. And it is probably not serving us well economically. And so it would be helpful if we could help people find their natural abilities, their interests, marry those, and help them guide them through the right path for them. We've gone the other extreme, saying that everybody needs a bachelor degree, and that is simply not true. And so there's got to be a better balance than we do have today.
Well, and then that speaks back to what, is obviously a hot issue throughout all of the discussions about education and the workforce, which is what happens in the primary and secondary grades for students. And if our educators and administrators aren't trained well enough to help the student find their purpose, if the programs aren't available. You mentioned Purdue and, you know, former Governor Mitch Daniels is the president there. Actually, he's created his own high school to try to get to the heart of this. Part of the problem is we have a lot of folks who are still following an old model. And so if we're going to create a new model for career, we have to create a new model that matches those needs earlier on, right?
The problem we've been talking about for, decades. The education has to be more tailored to the student, less rigid, more flexible, more student and customer focused.
More individualized.
Yes.
Across the board.
Yes.
Well, Carol, thank you so much for joining us. I've been speaking with Carol D'Amico, the Executive Vice President of the Strata Education Network and its guiding principle, A Completion with a Purpose. It's really a very cool organization, Carol. I'm so grateful for your being there with this new, fresh approach to really improving that college-to-career connection and helping make the lives of adults better and more productive. So thank you again for joining me. And as always, to my listeners out there, thanks for being with us. Please send your comments. Follow us at Ed Reform and me at Jeannie Allen. And follow Strata at Strata Education and Carol at Carol D'Amico, S-E-N. For Reality Check, I'm Jeannie Allen. Carol, thank you again.
Thank you, Jeannie.
Reality Check is produced by National Review and posted at nationalreview.com in association with CER, the Center for Education Reform. If you like what you heard in this podcast, and I hope you did, you might want to subscribe for free to make sure you don't miss any future programs. Please sign up at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or TuneIn. I'm Jeannie Allen.